Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning, and thankful that everyone that is here is able to be here. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible this morning as we prepare to examine a lesson this morning titled Some Backsliding Preventatives. Before we begin, I'd like to just give thanks to Doug for that very good prayer that he led us in a few moments ago. I thank David for leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And also appreciate Alvin giving us that reading of the scripture there from Luke chapter 9. And you notice what Jesus said there in Luke chapter 9. You notice Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's serious, isn't it? You see, as Christians, it is very important that we all always strive to remain faithfully committed to serving the Lord and His will, no matter what. As children of God, we need to be people who always keep our hand to the plow and never look back, so to speak. We need to be a people who remain faithfully committed to the Lord at all times. However, that's not always the case, is it? Sadly, there are some brethren who lose heart, and because they lose heart, they turn their back on the Lord and they no longer serve Him. We've talked about that a lot lately. Talked about the many of our own number here at Belleville who have turned their back on the Lord, who no longer faithfully serve Him. We talk about lately some who are, simply put, backsliding. And again, backsliding is also known as falling away or as apostasy. It's a term used to describe a Christian who reverts back to pre-conversion habits by turning to God to pursue their own selfish desires. It's serious. And it happens. And there's not any of us who are beyond falling. Knowing that it is possible for a Christian to fall away, knowing that it is possible for a Christian to backslide, we're going to take some time this morning to discuss some backsliding preventatives in hopes that we can become better equipped to prevent backsliding from occurring. And I want to begin this morning by suggesting to us, if we want to be a people who prevent backsliding, we're going to have to be a people who talk often to God through the avenue of prayer. We spent quite a bit of time talking about the importance of talking to God through the avenue of prayer in our adult Bible class this morning. And as we talked about already this morning in our adult Bible class about the importance of prayer, prayer, it's a vital part to any Christian's life. You think about how important communication is in your everyday relationships. Communication is important. It's vital in order for a relationship to be sustained. And you want to know something? It's the same in our spiritual walk. If we're going to be a people who are going to remain close to God, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to talk to Him often through the avenue of prayer. Because when you think about what happens when communication is lack in a relationship, often that leads to what? A severed relationship, doesn't it? And it's the same again with our spiritual walk. When we quit talking to God through the avenue of prayer, guess what? That's a sign that apostasy is at hand. When you quit talking to God, often through prayer, you're in trouble. You're in trouble spiritually. And if we want to prevent being one who backslides, being one who falls away, we're going to have to be a people who talks often to God through the avenue of prayer. The importance of this is seen there in Philippians chapter 4. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Philippians chapter 4. And there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 beginning, the Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." Now watch it. "But in everything by prayer and supplication," do what? "Let your requests be made known to God." Notice what he goes on to say. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, Paul made it very clear that as children of God, we need to let our requests be made known to God. And he says, when you do, that peace which comes from God, which we cannot even begin to comprehend, it'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the scriptures emphasize the necessity of being continual in prayer there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Remember what Paul said there? Pray how? Without ceasing. Simply put, what Paul is saying is, you need to often talk to God. You need to often go to God through the avenue of prayer, and you need to pray without ceasing. And brethren, when we are a people who keep that communication line, so to speak, with God always open, guess what? It's going to better equip us to be one who remains faithful to Him. It's going to help us, as we talked about this morning in our Bible study class, to draw closer to God and Him to us. And it's going to be a preventative to backsliding. But I also suggest to us this morning another backsliding preventative. And that is the need to feed upon the Word of God often. Not only do we need to be a people who often talk to God through the avenue of prayer, but we also need to be a people who often feed upon the Word of God. We took a look at the account there in Matthew chapter 4 of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by the devil this morning in our Bible study class. And again, go back there with me, if you will, for a moment there to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And as Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, remember we talked about he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? And the devil tempted him by saying, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And how did Jesus reply to that devil? How did he reply to him? He says, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Think about that. I want you to consider something with me for a moment. I believe we all would agree on this. Physical food is vital for the body in order to sustain physical life, right? If we're going to continue to live, we got to eat, don't we? We have to have physical food. It's vital in order to sustain our physical life. But you want to know something? Spiritual food is likewise vital in order for one to sustain their spiritual well-being. Just as physical food is important for us to sustain our physical health and physical life, spiritual food, feeding upon the Word of God, is likewise vital and important if we're going to sustain our spiritual well-being. And you think about what Jesus said. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. But how? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Simply put, Jesus is informing us of the need to be a people who feed upon the Word of God. And brethren, if we're going to be a people who are spiritually well, we're going to have to feed the soul. We're going to have to feed upon God's Word. We're going to have to do, as Peter said there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, and we're going to have to desire the pure milk of the Word. Think about that. You see, because here's the thing. As we recognize that physical food is necessary in order to sustain physical life, we need to also understand that without physical food, we're going to become physically what? Malnourished. And we go without physical nourishment for so long, what's going to happen? Physical death. And the same is with our spiritual well-being. That's why spiritual well-being And our spiritual health depends upon feeding upon God's word. Because without it, we're going to become spiritually malnourished. And the longer we become spiritually malnourished, guess what it's going to lead to eventually? Spiritual death. You see that? That's why we need to be a people, if we want to prevent falling away, we are a people who talk often to God, and we are a people who feed upon God's word often. But I also suggest to us this morning another backsliding preventative. And that is, if we want to prevent backsliding, we need to be a people who take advantage of every opportunity to assemble together with the saints to be edified together. You see, one of the most obvious signs to a local church of a member who is backsliding and on the verge of falling away is the lack of regularly attending with the saints. That's something that's obvious. When you look around and you notice someone is constantly not here, guess what? That's a person that is in trouble and possibility of falling away. You see, the longer one goes without assembling together with the saints, the easier it's going to get to go without assembling together with the saints. You think about that. You think about how, well, the first time or two, yeah, that person may feel maybe a little guilty about not being there. But guess what? After that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh week, just becomes common nature. Becomes a common routine. They get used to it. And the easier it gets, and before you know it, they just stop. They stop coming at all. Before you know it, they're no longer here. How many times have we seen that? Sadly, too many. And you want to know something, brethren? We need to be paying attention. We need to be looking around. We need to be noticing who is regularly here and who is not regularly here. And by the way, don't get me wrong, we understand there are going to be times when things are circumstances in life and things are going to come up that are going to prevent you from being here. But as I've always said, and I'll say again, we must not be concerned about those who would be here if they could be. But we need to be concerned about those who could be here who choose not to be. And sadly, there are too many who could be here who choose not to be here. And when we fail to take advantage of every opportunity to come together to be with the saints and to assemble together with the saints, we're failing to take advantage to be strengthened by one another, to be encouraged and edified by one another. And that's important. Notice the importance of this with me here in Romans chapter 1. Here in Romans chapter 1, as Paul began his epistle to the Romans, I want you to notice these words of Paul here in verse number 11 of Romans 1. Here Paul says, "For I long to see you." He says, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." That is what, Paul? "That I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." You ever feel like the Apostle Paul? You ever long to be with your brethren? We should. We should. You see, we should be a people who look forward to every opportunity that we have to come together and to be with our brethren. And here Paul is talking about the need to come together to be with his brethren. Why? That he may be encouraged by them and them encouraged by him. By the mutual faith of one another. And without a doubt, when we come together, when we spend quality time together, the result is going to be edification. Notice this with me. Turn there to Hebrews chapter 10. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, notice the instruction of the Hebrews writer, beginning here in verse number 24. Here the Hebrews writer says, And let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. Think about that for a moment. When we come together and we consider one another, and we provoke one another or stir one another up for love and good works. You know that? He goes on to say there in verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 and 25 go together. You ever notice that? You see, in order to fulfill the instruction of verse number 24, we must not forsake the assembling together, as verse 25 says. You see, simply put, if we're going to be effective in stirring up one another for love and good works, if we're going to be effective in encouraging and edifying one another, we're going to have to be here together, brother. We're going to have to be here. We're going to have to spend time together. And when we do so, we can effectively provoke one another or stir one another up for love and good works. We can effectively edify or build one another up. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity to do so, knowing that when we encourage one another and are encouraged by one another, we're going to be one who's going to be less likely to fall away. But I also suggest to us this morning another backsliding preventative, and that is the need to be actively involved in the Lord's work. Did you know that failure to show diligence and a tendency to be sluggish is a sign of lack of interest, which could obviously lead to falling away? You see, when one is always seeming to be sluggish, they always seem to be dragging their feet, when they're always looking for an out, when they're always failing to seek to be involved in something, usually that's a sign that they're not interested in that thing. And it's the same when we apply it to brethren and the Lord's work. Those who fail to be actively involved in the Lord's work, those who lack diligence in being one who abounds in the work of the Lord, typically that's a sign that they're not interested in that work. But you want to know something? As Christians, we are instructed to be a people who do not lack diligence. We're instructed to be a people who are fervent serving the Lord. Paul gave that instruction there in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11. He simply said, do not be lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. Paul's saying, be involved. And be on fire for the Lord. Have a zeal for the Lord. Serve the Lord with a fervent spirit, not a sluggish, lazy spirit. And we need to be mindful of the need to be a people who are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So how you doing with that, brother? Are you one who is struggling with your faith? If all I suggest to you, get busy. Get involved in the Lord's work. Do something for the Lord. And by doing so, it will help you be better equipped from falling away. But I also suggest to us this morning another backsliding preventative. And that is, if we want to be a people who prevent backsliding, we need to be a people who constantly focus upon and set our minds upon things above and not on things on the earth. You see, when one's focus and concerns become that of temporal things, when it becomes that of things upon the earth rather than upon spiritual things, We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And apostasy is at hand. You want to know one of the biggest hindrances in the Lord's church today? Worldliness. Too many brethren today get caught up in the world and the things of the world. Too many people in the church today want to put too much emphasis and put too much focus upon the things upon this earth rather than upon spiritual things. Too many people are putting too much focus upon the world instead of heaven. And if we want to be a people who prevent backsliding, guess where our attention needs to be? Upon things above. Notice this with me there in Colossians chapter 3. Here in Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 1 beginning, the Apostle Paul penned, therefore, Colossians 3 and in verse 1. I was in 1 Thessalonians 1. Here in Colossians 3 and verse 1, Paul pens, if then you were raised with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Paul says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Notice who Paul was addressing. He was addressing those who were raised with Christ. Simply put, those who are Christians. And he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? On the earth? Shake your head like this. He said, those things that are above. And he goes on to tell us the need to set our mind on those things above, not on the things on the earth. And he tells us why in verse 3 when he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, when you also will appear with him in glory. You see that? You see, simply put, we need to be a people who set our mind on things above and not on the things of this earth because of the fact that this world and the things in this world, they're passing away. They're temporary. They're only going to last for a little while. But he who sets his mind on things above, he who abides in the will of God, guess what? He will abide forever. Notice that with me as you turn your Bibles there to 1 John chapter 2. And here in 1 John chapter 2, pay attention to this warning of John beginning here in verse number 15. Here John writes, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now watch verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. There it is. You see the importance of setting your mind and your focus upon things above and not on things on this earth? You do, don't you? Remember that. Don't be one who gets caught up in the cares of this world. Don't be one who gets caught up in the things of this world, knowing that they are temporary. But be one who sets your focus, who gives your complete attention to the things that are above. Knowing, as John told us there in 1 John 2:17, that he who does the will of God abides forever. But another backsliding preventative. If we're going to be a people who are going to be better equipped to prevent backsliding, we're going to have to choose our friends carefully, and we're going to have to surround ourselves around those of like precious faith. You see, it has been said that you will become like those whom you spend the most time with. You ever hear that before? There's a lot of truth to that statement, isn't there, BJ? You see, we may think that no one's going to have any influence over us. That, oh, I can be around all these ungodly people and the people of the world, and they'll never change me. But you want to know something? When we think like that, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And that's one of the things Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. He says, do not be deceived. Why? Evil company corrupts good habits. We may think that those whom we hang around won't have any influence on us. But in reality, we're fooling ourselves when we think like that. And that's why it's important that if we're going to prevent falling away, that we choose our friends carefully and that we surround ourselves around those of right, precious faith. There in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse number 26, the wise man gave this instruction. He says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. And he goes on to tell us why. When he says, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Hold on to those words of wisdom. Be a people who choose your friends carefully. Knowing, as the wise man informed here in Proverbs 12 verse 26, that the way of the wicked will lead one astray. Knowing that just as Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, that just as evil company corrupts good habits, remember that on the flip side of that coin, that good company will correct bad habits. You see that? Being mindful of that, we need to seek to surround ourselves around those of like precious faith. There in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter addressed that epistle to those who have attained like precious faith. Simply put, people address that to fellow Christians. And when Peter speaks of those of like precious faith, he's talking about fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And brethren, if we want to be a people who prevent backsliding, we need to be a people who spend quality time with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be a people who take advantage of that good influence, that positive influence that our brothers and sisters in Christ will have upon us. And by doing so, we will be better equipped from backsliding. But one more to suggest to us this morning in regard to a backsliding preventative. And if we want to be a people who prevent backsliding, we must be a people who never forget or take for granted the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must be a people who are always be aware of the consequences of backsliding. You see, as Christians, we should be mindful every day of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done and does for us. How often do you think about that? How often do you think about what Christ has done for you? You think about that daily? If not, why not? Because when we're ever mindful of that ultimate sacrifice of Christ, when we're ever mindful of just how much Jesus Christ has done for us, guess what? We're going to be better equipped to faithfully serve Him unto death. We're going to be better equipped to be totally committed to Him. And we need to be mindful of what Christ has done for us, and we must never take that for granted. When I think about that, I'm mindful of these words of the Apostle Paul found recorded there in Romans chapter 5. And there in Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 6 beginning, Paul writes, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone wouldn't even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Think about that. Not only did Jesus Christ willingly go to that cross and shed His life's blood for you and I, but also by doing so, when we are baptized into Him and baptized and His precious redeeming blood washes away our sins, Guess what? By his blood, Paul says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? When you think about what Christ has done for you? He goes on to say there in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. How often do you rejoice that Jesus Christ died for you, that he died for your sins? How often do you rejoice that because of Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity to be in a good relationship with God? Reconciliation. That's a big word. You know what that word means? It means to be restored to friendly relations. That's what Jesus Christ does through his shedding of his blood. He allows one who is in sin, who is separated by sin, to once again be reconciled to God. To once again be restored to a good relationship with God. And Paul says, in that we should rejoice. Brethren, when we are mindful of that each and every day, when we rejoice each and every day, being ever mindful of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it's going to help prevent us from falling away. But on the flip side of that coin, we need to be mindful of the consequences if we choose to turn our back on the Lord. If we choose to forget or to trample underfoot what he has done for us. And to emphasize that, I want to take us there to Hebrews chapter 10. And here in Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse number 26 beginning, the Hebrews writer says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but what? A certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Let those sink in. Let those words sink in. Because he says in verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Does that get your attention? It should. Because that's exactly what will be the consequence of those who make the decision to turn their back on the Lord and to serve him no more. They have nothing to expect but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. They got eternal consequences, eternal punishment coming their way. Those who choose to turn their back on the Lord and to serve him no more. And what did the Hebrews writer say? Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Brethren, we need to be mindful of not only the goodness of God, but also of the severity of God. Because God is both good and severe. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. And we need to be mindful of the goodness and severity of God. Knowing that if we faithfully serve God, we will, as we talked about earlier, abide forever with him. But on the flip side of that coin, if we turn our backs on the Lord our God and choose to serve him no more, we have nothing to expect but the consequences and judgment of eternal punishment. Hell fire.
serious, isn't it? Very serious.
Once more, be ever mindful of what Jesus has done for you, and never forget that. And never turn your back on the Lord, knowing the consequences of doing so. My beloved brethren, may we all beware of backsliding, and to help prevent us from it, let's all seek to make the proper application of the backsliding preventatives that we have discussed here this morning. And maybe there's one among us this morning who has not yet submitted himself to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour, for you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can have your sins washed away. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember, as we have talked here this morning, the need to continue to always keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful to the Lord unto death, remembering what Jesus has promised to those who do. There in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've got caught up in the cares of the world. Maybe you've strayed from faithfully serving the Lord. You've strayed to that broad way that leads to destruction. We encourage you to repent. We encourage you to confess your sins to God. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life this very hour, while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front, while standing and singing the song David selected.